West Coast's premiership of last year surprised many, but not the coach, Adam Simpson. To him, it was the result of a four-year body of work, not 4 weeks of finals. And here, he takes us into his West Coast world of mateship, spirit, unity, family first, messing up pre-game speeches, and the exact moment he knew he had a premiership-capable team.
We're with Adam Simpson on In The Game. And Adam, there's always going to be a comma and then two words after your name now as premiership coach. How does that now sit with you, given it's still relatively fresh?
It was probably not something that you plan as a senior coach. I still feel like I'm pretty raw in terms of the experienced senior coach. So, you know, I was 4 years at Hawthorn as an assistant, and this is my fifth year. I just finished my fifth year at West Coast, so I feel like I've got a lot to learn still. And going to the Coaches Association dinner and meetings, I still feel like I'm the little kid in the room. So tremendous honour, really proud of what the club did last year. And, it was such a good game as well, wasn't it? So very, very proud.
Yeah. We're talking this week on the morning after the AFL launched its season, and it was a very powerful video that was played to the room last night. And just sort of, you're in the room, as you were, trying to stay behind the scenes up the back as you do at those functions. But when you look back on that and the way it was packaged up in such a powerful way, did you have a stirring that you may not have even had at the time?
No, look, it's really good to tell stories, and that package is always good every year. The only time it's not good is when you're the losing side. So in 15, it wasn't a great night because it went through Cyril Rioli's, Norm Smith and his background. So the little background stories are, I think, great for the game. And to be part of one of those was – and obviously grand final day, but the way they did it with Liam Ryan and Dom Sheed and McGovern and Nathan Vardy, all country kids, all adversity, all not your standard, you know, top – 10 draft pick that just goes on to have a stellar career. So great little stories, great to reflect on, and I'm still coaching those players. So they're good men, and they're really growing into themselves.
And those three players you mentioned and their backgrounds, do you find yourself relating more to those type of players than you do the guys who are absolutely born with it and guaranteed to, or effectively guaranteed to make it to the top?
I'd like a few more guarantee make it to the top type of players. I think we are who we are. Our list, our club, our players in particular have found a sweet spot in terms of the themselves. They're not trying to be anyone different. They understand how tough the comp is and the game is, but they haven't changed who they are. Mm. And I'm really proud that they've created an environment, and I've been part of that they can be who they are, and they don't need to conform and be this elite, as much as our players are elite, but they don't have to be the stock standard footballer. And I think WA also provides an opportunity to live a different life as well. It's not as hectic, and you can get away pretty quickly, and a lot of our players do, and I think it reflects on the way that they handle themselves around the club.
Okay. That environment to which you refer, obviously you've created it. You may not want to sort of take all the credit for that, but you've overseen it and allowed it to develop and prosper. Allowing people to be themselves, Adam, just in your, as you say before, a short time still in this game as a senior coach, is that arguably the most crucial thing that you can bring to any group?
I'm not sure. I think we evolve as people, and the clubs and AFL probably reflect a little bit of that. I mean, the old school coach, which I was very much a part of with Dennis and even a little bit of Alistair and Dean Laidley, you know, in his own right, had different methods. So I just think our group is I've just backed them in as much as I can. The environment's more of a sanctuary. You know, there's so much pressure, and so when they come to the club, they it took me a while to work it out, but they know that I've got their back, and no matter what happens, I'll defend them and back them in, and I think everyone likes that. So that's created an environment of which our players back themselves in and each other, and it's not a big love-in. There's some realities about it all, but I think being themselves is really important.
Yep. And that mantra that you've seemed to have adopted and has been made public before this, but the family first type of feeling to it, when did you start going down that path in a really empowering way?
I think the pressures of the game, for me personally, I suppose, the last couple of years, you know, we finished sixth the year before, but there was a bit of pressure on the club. We had some retirements, some situations that were difficult. And I probably realised that my love of the game back in the 90s, for instance, and even at Hawthorn, was based around mateship. It was based around spirit. It was based around unity of a football club. And as much as I was saying those words, I probably wasn't living it as much as I could have. So I really went hard at that side of the mindset and the football club. And, you know, the players, they're just the same as what we were back in the day. So they do like to get together and socialise. They do like to have a bit of fun.
Yep.
But they're a lot smarter than what we were as footballers. So the combination of the both is, I think it's been there, but in the last couple of years, we've probably worked a little bit harder at making sure that's fostered.
Yep. Two things I want to delve into out of that answer. Why do you say they're smarter now?
Oh, they're just more in tune with total getting into the strategic mind, the total football element of what to do, when to do it, how to do it. I think, you know, there was, you know, players, of course, in eras gone by that were pretty sharp, but we're trying to get everyone on the same page and everyone, especially now with some new rules coming in, you've got to make decisions now away from coaching. And I don't know, we're just all on the same page.
Yeah, okay. And the other aspect of what you just said there too about saying words but not necessarily living them, when was it you're able to marry up the word coming out of your mouth with the action?
It's difficult to put a...
Was it 2017 in the adversity of that?
It's just recognising moments where you could back your players in and go hard at that. So, I mean, there were some things throughout the year last year that showed confidence in our group that I can't go into too much. I mean, I missed round two. I didn't coach round two. Or my daughter was sick. I went home, did the right thing. What kind of message did that send to our players? We've got 12 players with kids. So those type of things, and Jamie Graham coached on the day, and I think we won by 10 goals, which probably 5 goals too many. You could have won by a couple. Those type of things, I think, and our players have gone through some issues where they've had to leave the club for their kids as well, and they know that that's safe and okay to do that. So yeah. I don't know if every club, I'm sure every club's got a similar type of profile, but we really value that.
Yeah. The 2017 season, again, Perth media being the way it is, as it is over here in Melbourne, but they seem to be pretty critical for a patch of time, sort of two-thirds, three-quarters of the way through the season. You made the finals and then made the second week of finals on the back of the amazing win against Port Adelaide in the overtime game there at Adelaide Oval. How crucial was that patch of that season upon what happened the following year?
I think it's pretty important. Yeah, we did scrape into the finals. I think we won against Adelaide. We had to win by 20 points to make the finals. So, you know, there was some question marks, of course, about where we're at. We had a pretty mature list. So the spirit, though, the players played with in that last game to qualify, and then the final with extra time, Luke Shuey. I think Justin Langer came and spoke to us about passion and mateship and, you know, all the things that we're really trying to get better at, and something clicked on that night. We lost the next game by 10 goals, by the way, so it didn't end well. But I remember speaking to a couple of leaders, or younger players actually, and they said there was a really good vibe amongst the players and the group, and that gave me confidence they were on the right path.
Yeah, okay. So you referenced a few moments ago the grand final in 2015, and that didn't end well, and then you contrasted that with the season launch as it was last night here in Melbourne. About the different emotions you feel 23 minutes into the first quarter of the 2018 grand final, did you have any thought that here we go again?
Oh, yeah. Of course I did. I've been very, very fortunate. I've been part of three grand finals at North and a grand final at Hawthorn and two now at West Coast. And it's different from interstate. It's a different build-up, and you can't avoid it. It's training at home on a Monday or Tuesday in front of you, the normal 10,000 that you get at grand final week. But then you're on a plane, your grand final parade, your hotel, your accommodation, your family's trying to get tickets. There's the whole club flies over, 150 staff come over. So how you deal with all that, and then before you know it, the siren's gone, the game's over. And that happened to us in 15. Mm. we were pretty young and inexperienced in terms of football. It was our second year together. We weren't, I say we weren't ready, but it was obviously we weren't ready to win a premiership. So, but what a great experience for our players and our group. And at the time, it didn't feel like that, but I got no doubt 23-minute mark of the first quarter and the 18 grand final, we were better prepared to handle a bit of adversity than we did, were in 15.
Right. Yep. The changes you made, I don't want you to relive it because you have in other forums, you don't need to do it here again, but what was it about the game and when was it within that game when you thought you've at least got it back on track?
I thought Collingwood were playing really good football and we weren't doing a lot wrong. One fumble, one mistake and it cost us on the scoreboard. So our midfield was going quite well. We had, you know, enough supply. Our back line was a little bit shaky, which is unusual, and our forward line wasn't working too well. So we thought our mids were holding up their end of the bargain. And then when Willie kicked that goal, it was a lucky goal.
Yep.
And then Josh Kennedy took a strong mark out of the next centre bounce and kicked that. The moment he kicked that goal, I was okay with where we were at.
Yeah, okay. Yep. The three guys you mentioned before, Nathan Vardy, Liam Ryan and Dom Sheed, and how that was put together with the adversity that they were the beneficiaries of, weren't they? And the flip side of that is others miss out, don't they? And there were emotional times for you last year, weren't there? You displayed that emotion through tears on national TV once they beat Nat Milley. The ability to do that, though, Adam, and it probably gets back into what you just relayed before with the family first mantra. How powerful a moment is that? How powerful a moment was that for that footy club last year when Nick Nat went down again?
It's not contrived. It's not part of a plan.
Absolutely.
I think I'm not the only coach that shows emotion. But sometimes you can't stop, you know, when something happens to – it's not just a player. It's a friend. It's a – you know the work that they go through. And Nick was a bad one because he'd just come back and he's having a good year. And when he did it, you just knew there's another 12 months of hard work in front. So that's happened before. I've got friends. It happened too when I was playing. So that gets the better of you. And it's okay to be vulnerable as a leader. You don't have to be the rock solid, know everything. Well, I'm not. So showing your vulnerabilities is okay. And I think it's important that people know that I'm not perfect because I'm not.
Showing it, was there a time in the past when you wouldn't have allowed yourself to show it to the public?
Oh, the public's different. I was not thinking about the public. It's more the players. And
okay.
Yeah, no, that's never been an issue for me because you talk in front of the players every day. So sometimes you're announcing great news. Sometimes you're announcing, you know, a tragedy. So, no, I'm used to doing that.
Yeah. Was there a time in the past where you didn't want to even show your team and you...
Nah, that's always been... You
know, how you wired.
Yep.
Yeah. Just on Nick Nat, is he among the more special people you've come across?
It's just his profile, and then you compare that to what he does publicly and for the community. I haven't seen it before. And it's not part of his brand. It's not a sell. It's definitely... who he is as a person, and his charitable work, and he's never knocked back a signature, and you can only imagine walking down the street, he can't hide. So he's had to deal with that for 10 plus years. A good problem to have, I suppose, but I've never seen him break. And then the next thing you know, he's going to a hospital off his own bat. He's just driving past and he pops in and he sees sick people and tries to raise money and all those things that you think is an effort sometimes. It's never been an issue with him, and we're really, really fortunate that he's part of our club.
Yeah.
And he can play all right too.
And will, at some stage of 2019, obviously, in your planning right now?
Yes, he is, albeit it's not right now, the planning. It's I'm planning with the rucks we've got, but we're hoping to get him around mid-season, hopefully before that, but... Yeah, it's just the way that works with rehab is with the knee reconstruction is you just can't get to the next stage until you tick off the stage you're at. So to say it's round 10, round 5, it's when he finishes his current form of recovery, he ticks that box. So straight line running. Once you get that pain-free, then you might do a bit of agility. And then once you do the agility, you might do a few jumps. And then so he's ticked off the straight line running. He's into agility. And I saw him jumping yesterday. So. Yeah. But that still means he's a while away. He hasn't started his pre-season yet.
In 2019, Damien Barrett will go inside the stories in conversation with the most influential figures in football in his new weekly podcast, In the Game, exclusive to afl.com.au and the AFL app. Subscribe to In the Game with Damien Barrett wherever you get your podcasts, or connect with Damien on Twitter via @BarrettDamien.
Adam, was there a moment last year that may have become, or given you greater clarity after the event, when you felt that we're going to do okay this year and we are going to win, or at least put ourselves in a chance to win?
We played Richmond early in the year and we won by 10 goals. It was like we had a good day, and whether Richmond were, you know, put the queue in the rack, or, you know, they'd been up for a while. But I remember looking around to, I think Josh Kennedy might have been in the box. He wasn't playing. What's going on? What's going on here, JK? And he looked at me like, oh my God, you know, the boys are all right. And, yeah, not to say we didn't rate our players, yeah, but I think once you test yourself against the best, oh, we were at home, you know, so it was a game that we probably built up more than Richmond. But that probably showed us that we could at least compete with the best. And then there was a couple of games throughout the year that were probably more spiritual. You know, Andrew Gaff getting suspended, we play Port Adelaide the next week. Galv kicks a goal after the siren. Our culture was questioned, and all those things. They're the galvanising ones. But the one that we thought, geez, we're not a bad side, was probably the Richmond game.
Yeah, okay. When you as a coach realise, gee, we could do something really special here, how much of that do you relay to the group? Do you bring them in on it, or do you just, as you often present to the public, not you personally, but clubs present to the public, just one game at a time, batch of games at a time?
Yeah, I used to do things like block up games and have themes for a month, and our players just didn't like it.
Yeah.
So they're very pragmatic. I love that about our players. They don't really like the big guest speakers. They like it when I mess up stories pre-game. they like a bit of a laugh, so they're not overly complicated. So they don't want to change training. They've got their way, and I respect that immensely, and I'm there to back them in. So, yeah, we didn't deviate too much throughout the year. And, yeah, the players, you know, go, well, what about this drill? And Shannon would go, no, mate, just stick to the original one. You know, team footy, let's get it done, that type of stuff. So keeps me very grounded.
What stories have you messed up, if you could share us a few?
Like the grand final one, by the looks of it. Pre-game, we five goals down. And I think you're trying to create a bit of energy in the room. You're trying to sell a message. This is my fifth year, so they've heard a lot of stories. So and I don't overly think my pre-game. So every now and then, well, most weeks, I'll tell a story that I just popped, you know, my son gets into a fight at school and his mate sticks up for him. And how good is that? You know, that type of talk.
Yeah.
And half the time I'll tell the story and it won't go very well. And the boys start laughing and I'll just go, just get out there. And then they're all good. So my motivation lasts for about 10 seconds, really.
Really?
Do from experience as well. You can give the best speech of all time and then they're not playing for another 25 minutes. So, you know, to try and get them to that level of, you know, peak performance is a bit of show before the game. So I think our players like to stay loose.
Yeah. Adam, having your dad in the room at the season launch, how special was it for you to share that moment with someone who obviously means the absolute nth of the world to you?
Well, I was trying to catch up with him and I didn't have any time, so I said, mate, come on, the season launch show. Well, no, it wasn't a spit. It's his 70th next week, and I obviously live in WA, so he was trying to catch up, and I said, mate, just come to this. And my wife didn't go, and I said, jump on the train and come in for a beer. So we sat up the back, and season launch is pretty good because it only goes for a couple of hours. And
you don't really like the fanfare, do you?
Oh, I don't mind it. It's just I don't look for it. So I'm not shy. I'm not hiding away from who I am or who the club is. But I won't, you know, sit in the front row and try and get a bit of camera time.
You had a farewell tour yourself when you were playing. It seemed to last about 18 months.
Probably learned from that.
Did you?
You know, yeah. You don't need it.
Because that wasn't you, was it?
No, but you sort of think sometimes when you're a player or a coach that, you know, something special happens or you're about to move on that you should, you know, you might put yourself out there and, yeah, take it or leave it.
Yeah. Dennis Pagan being up on the podium last year to present you with the trophy and the acknowledgement of a win. Did that mean something to you too, given that he coached you to your two flags as a player?
It did, and I don't speak to Dennis a lot, but I did ring him on the grand final day in 1998, a long time ago. We lost 98 and we won 99.
Yep.
And I'm trying to think, okay, what did Dennis do differently? And I couldn't remember. So I rang him and he said, oh, look, halfway through 98, I think we're up by 20-odd points at halftime, and our support crew gave us a standing ovation at halftime, and Dennis said he didn't like that.
Dennis didn't like
that. So he said, just keep your stuff under control. Maybe give him a clip before the game starts. So I did it in my own way. I didn't. I just said, everyone, calm down. So we did things a lot differently in 18, though. We did the way we prepped, the way we handled the week. I think we, you know, everyone says embrace the week. We probably accepted the week more than, right, than embracing.
Okay. And again, I've heard you talk in relatively recent weeks about being the defender of the title now. How do you go about that, given it's a whole new landscape?
Isn't I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't,
that's look, the truth, isn't it?
Yeah,
you don't,
I mean,
you're prepared for it, though, aren't you?
Well, this is probably part of the learning that I'm going through as well. Like, I haven't been around long enough as a senior coach to know, all right, now we've won one, we need to do this. And I think that the danger that I personally would seeing myself is if we try and change too much, you'd always think, geez, what about if we just backed him in again? And what about if we just did the same thing? We try to get better, but in the end, we can't die wondering. So I'm going down that path.
Yeah.
And if it's not working, then we'll try and change it.
Yeah.
It's a tough comp. Like I think we're two losses away from seventh.
Yeah, two and a half. Yeah.
So we're not delusional. We're also not just going to roll over. But it's a bloody tough competition, and it's only getting tougher. So as long as people understand that.
You could waste so much time, couldn't you? Or potentially waste time putting time into working out what you should do.
Well, we've been pretty good for a while. I think in the last 4 years we've won more games than anybody, won more finals and played in more finals. So if people say, oh, it's a one out of the box, or that wasn't expected, it wasn't expected, but the last 4 years we've been the best side.
Mm.
And I don't publicise that too much, so don't put that on the front page tomorrow. But I think internally the players have got confidence that it's been a build. It's not just, geez, we hit a sweet spot for 4 weeks. And I hope not anyway. But who knows? Who knows? Some of our players might feel a little bit different than they did this time last year. So I've got an eye on that, but I haven't seen anything that suggests that they've taken the foot off the pedal.
Yep. And upon entering 2019, you'll have one spot on your list potentially open for the addition?
No, I don't think we've got an extra spot.
So that's it. So you go in with...
We're full book. Yep.
Full book.
Yep.
Yeah. So no Cyril Rioli going to West Coast in the pre-season or mid-season draft.
Hey, we'll find a spot if he's available. Don't worry. Something will happen in the next couple of days if he rings and says...
You had a chat to him, didn't you, recently?
No, I didn't.
Someone on your behalf? Brady, maybe?
No, but that's loose. That's a loose... I think... His manager might have, because Brady's list manager talks to all the managers and just said, oh, how's Cyril going? And he said, he's not coming.
He's not coming.
So I don't think it was a no.
Yep.
No. But look, if he does want to play footy, I think if he wants to play footy again ever, he'll go to Hawthorn. So.
Do you think he will?
I don't know. I haven't spoken to him. I haven't. That's not well and truly not on our radar.
Yep. What did you do yourself just personally to get away from it all off season? Did you go away?
No, I didn't. Every year we send our staff overseas, and I just felt like we needed a bit of family time at the end of the year, all of our coaches. So I went to the Tiwi Islands with the cup, which was great. I took Willie and Liam Ryan came for the trip as well, and that was great to see. We went there a year before to try and understand his culture a little bit better, and I took my son. And this time around I took my son and my daughters as well, and, you know, we didn't stand out too much up there. The three albinos walking around the Tiwi Islands. It was great. It was a great cultural adjustment for my kids. And
they would have loved that, wouldn't they?
Well, I don't know if they loved it, but it was just a great experience. Yeah, we stayed in Darwin for the first night and went up there for a couple of days. And the joy of Willie carrying the cup around his local community, albeit it's probably the fourth time that's happened up there.
Yeah.
It was great, and it was great for Liam as well.
And the smiles on those two guys' faces on the grand final day itself and after it was it must be hold a special part in what you reflect upon.
It did. We've got a lot of young players in our front half, in particular. We, you know, this year we might without Lacroix and Scott Lysett, we're going to have probably you know, five or six players in our forward line under 22. Most experienced player at the moment is Jack Darling, who's 25, and then everyone else is their babies. And so Liam and Willie fit that mould. So they're in their first or second year. So Liam's first ever game on the MCG, yeah. Grand Final. I mean, how does that happen? So they've got a lot of growth as men. They've got children. They're working on their fatherhood and the relationships and all those sort of things. So they've got so much more growth in front of them, which is exciting. Yeah.
And just to, I suppose, wrap up our chat here today, and thank you for your time, the allowance for those two players within the group, obviously, yeah. to be themselves on game day, a significant part of what you personally are about with every single person that runs out under your watch?
A little bit. I mean, I think a lot of coaches say this, for the freedom within a discipline type of attitude when you're coaching is important. We've got very, very specific roles within our structure. So they know their roles, but within that role, there's a fair bit of freedom as well. So they're
would
really
you encourage?
Clear. Oh, I think everyone would. Yeah, I don't think there'd be a coach that wouldn't encourage those type of players to... They put pressure on really well. They go for their marks. They defend. The things that you want from players, they do naturally. So it's not like I'm trying to pull teeth getting them to tackle the chase. They do it naturally, and we do let them go in some aspects.
Thanks for your time today.
Thanks, mate.